You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Jonathan Capehart here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC AM, FM, and WNYC.org. When speaking of hippie culture in America, it's hard not to mention drug culture's most notorious comedy duo, Cheech and Chong. We know Cheech and Chong from way back, but what has happened since way back? With me today is one half of that pair, the Pope of Pot, Tommy Chong, who has since gone to jail and written a book about his experience entitled The I Chong, Meditations from the Joint. It is published by Simon Spotlight Entertainment, and I am pleased to welcome him to the show.
Hey, nice to be had.
It's great to have you here. And before I get into the book, I have to ask you, actually, this is kind of getting into the book.
Sure.
How's Shelby?
Shelby, my gorgeous wife, is fine. I just talked to her on the phone. She just had to turn down a part in a movie in Vancouver because they weren't paying her enough money.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Well, I ask about Shelby because throughout your book, I mean, Shelby is in it.
Well, she's been
all a part of it.
She's been my love of my life for many years, 30 some odd years.
And what is it about her that makes her such a rock for you?
She's got great legs. Just incredible body. I mean, I got to tell you the truth, man. I mean, you know, every time I go to bed at night, I just kind of, if she's sleeping, I'll pull the covers down, take a look.
Take a look at the legs?
Ooh, the whole body. I mean, everything. She's just gorgeous. I met her, I think I tell about it in the book. I met her when she was like a teenager in high school, and I was married. I had another family, married, and I was in a band, and she used to come, and she was
a groupie?
Not a groupie. And she actually didn't like me. I was in an all-black band except me, and her sister liked black guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would come and, you know, hit on the other guys, and I fell in love. As soon as I saw her, I said, I want her, Paul. I was in her face so much that we became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the friendship, you know, over the years turned into lovers, and then lovers into, she was my, I guess, mistress for a while. I was actually a black guy. You know, I became a black guy.
What do you mean?
Well, I was in a band. You know, I renounced all the other cultures. I was totally in. I was in a Motown. I wrote music for Motown. I was. I considered myself a soul man. You know, a soul brother.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I got so black, I ended up marrying a white woman.
So. There you go. Oh man, I wish we had a full 40 minutes because this is great. Now, the I Chong Meditations from the Joint centers around something that happened on a February night in 2003. Yeah. What happened that night?
That morning. I got raided.
Morning.
DEA, federal government, with a SWAT team, knocked on my door and came in and confiscated all the computers and bongs in the house.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were you told you were being arrested for, or why they were coming into your home?
They kept saying, "You're not under arrest. You're not under arrest. You don't need a lawyer. This is a raid. We have a search warrant, but you're not under arrest. Therefore, you don't need a lawyer." And I thought that was weird. I wasn't a bit worried because I was kind of looking for a confrontation because I represent pot and all the studying that I've done with pot, especially meeting Montel Williams and being involved with MS. You know, I found out that how pot helps MS people.
Medical marijuana.
Any kind of pot. You know, it's not medical. It's a medical because it's a medicine, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, just marijuana, period, helps people with sicknesses, illnesses. And so I was looking forward to a confrontation in court. But what they did, they raided my son's bong company. And then they raided my house looking for bongs. They threw me right off. They weren't looking for pot. They never even had pot on the search warrant. And they found pot, and they had to put an addendum, added on there. But they were looking for bongs, and they said this is about Chong glass.
Mm-hmm. Tom, let me ask you for those listeners out there who might not be acquainted with bongs. What are bongs?
Bong is a Chinese word or Thai word mm-hmm. or Vietnamese word for water pipe.
Mm-hmm.
It just means water pipe. That's all
okay.
it is. And a water pipe is a device where the tobacco goes in and then it goes through the water and then it's drawn up into the mouthpiece. And it's sort of the water sort of rinses everything mm-hmm. away. It's water pipe's been around for
a long time,
centuries.
Yeah. Now, why all of a sudden did they go after you? I mean, it's anybody watching a Cheech and Chong movie would know that you know you're into this.
Yeah. Well, that's why. You know, I mean, I represented. I think personally, I think they were. It was around the time they were getting ready to invade Iraq. And I think they were looking, the Bush administration was doing a preemptive strike on the anti-war movement. You know, it's well-known fact that the long-haired hippies really helped stop the Vietnam War with their protest and their, you know, the marches and everything. And I believe that the Bush administration decided to do a preemptive act
mm-hmm.
and take out the hippies, including, you know, like me, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and put me in jail,
mm-hmm.
Making me an example of if this is what's going to happen, you know, because we can shut, this is what they said, we can shut you down. We have enough pot laws on the book that we can shut down this war movement if you come at us from that approach.
Mm-hmm. I'm Jonathan Capehart, sitting in for Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC AM, FM, and WNYC.org. And I am sitting across from Tommy Chong, who has written The I Chong, Meditations from the Joint. If you were targeted by the government because you were so outspoken, then why didn't they go after Cheech?
I mean, Cheech isn't outspoken. Cheech sort of renounced it. In fact, Cheech mm-hmm. has done anti-drug commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Cheech is—he has an art show that he shows around the country. That's sponsored by Target
mm-hmm.
and Clear Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And Clear Channel is very well known for their anti-pot stance. And Cheech does not, in any way, promote the use of pot like I do,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and that's one of the sore spots between, or the dividing line between Cheech and I, because Cheech, he wants to do another Cheech and Chong movie, but he doesn't want to be, you know, he doesn't want to do the stoner humor, you know, that I'm famous for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they didn't go after Cheech. You know?
Now, is it safe to say that drugs were your birthright? Tell listeners why you call your dad the original stoner.
Well, my dad, he's Chinese, you mm-hmm. know, and he was. He passed away in 86 or 7. Anyway, he told me many, many years ago that, you know, he went back to China. They tried to find him a wife in China. You know, he was born in Vancouver, but he went back to China. And when he was back there, he used to smoke opium. Like a lot of Chinese did. That was when it was mm-hmm. mandatory. I think Britain, you know, wanted everybody hooked on opium, you know, the mm-hmm. Boxer War and everything. And so my dad was an opium smoker. And toward the end of his life, you know, he took up a little bit with the boys.
One of the things you wrote, and it comes on page 2, which is what had me howling, you wrote, "And believe it or not, I was high on marijuana at the time." This is, you're talking about at your birth. And you write, "As it turns out, my father, the sperm donor, had been smoking a mixture of weed and opium at the time of conception." So that's why I refer to it as
that's kind of speculation, but it wouldn't be too far from the truth.
Well, it makes for good reading.
Yeah, it does.
So what about your kids? Do you have kids?
Yes.
And so
I got 5.
You have 5 kids.
And they're all grown. And two grandsons, two grandsons. One's 24 and one's 16 months.
And so as they were growing up, what did you tell them about drugs?
I was very serious, too. I took them aside and I told them, listen, if you're going to smoke pot, replace it. Because I'll tell you what, drug abuse is coming home to an empty bag. No, the truth is, no, to be serious with you.
Okay.
I was more upset when I found out my son smoked cigarettes, my youngest boy. Mm-hmm. And I made sure he quit smoking cigarettes. And all the rest of the kids, they had to hide their cigarette smoking, you know, from me. The other children, I mean, it was a choice they had to make themselves. I know my oldest daughters, Radon and Robbie, they all tried, but they didn't like it. In fact, Robbie used to come to me and ask me for some joints, you know, some cigarette, pot, right. Joints. And then she'd take it to school and sell it to her friends. Say, hey, this is a Tommy Chong joint.
She make a good profit?
You know, she did okay.
She share the profits with you?
No. No, it wasn't done, you know, regularly, just once in a while. She went to school with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, mm-hmm. to give you an example. You know, that was back in those days. And my boys, now, my youngest boy, the one that smoked cigarettes, he's now a yoga instructor. Mm-hmm. And he's quit smoking pot. He went through his pot stage. He's out of pot, totally. The son that had the pipe company, now he was a pretty heavy pot smoker and an artist, mm-hmm. but he's out of it now. He quit on his own because he's back in school and he's mm-hmm. Studying for a law degree. So you know, I just let the kids pick and choose mm-hmm. themselves.
We're almost out of time. We have sure. just about a minute left. So what do you think drug laws, all drug laws, should be eliminated? Eliminated or just laws pertaining to marijuana?
No, the use. Drug laws, you know, here's the way it should work. The pot laws should be treated like the gay laws in the military. Don't ask, don't tell. You know, just enforce the no smoking laws that are out there now. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not, you know, don't light up in a house, you know, secondhand smoke and everything else. But leave it alone, you know, because it's there's too much of a stigma and so on. You know, this is medicine we're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, and it's medicine that grows wild anywhere. It's herbs, you know. It's like you could pick, you know, apples off the tree, or you can pick up, you know, pot. It grows everywhere and anywhere. So you can't legislate that. No more than you can legislate immigration. It's the same thing. It's a natural occurrence. People are going to do it regardless of you got laws or no laws or whatever. You know, it's a medicine. People smoke pot because they need it. Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. And don't even try to do it. Just enforce the no smoking laws that you got.
And are you actively involved in trying to get the medical marijuana laws?
Yeah, not actively. I'm more like passively actively. The worst thing about smoking pot is that we make terrible activists. You know, it's hard to get off the couch, you know, and do a march. You say, there's a march. Oh yeah, well you go ahead. I'm going to stay here and watch television. You know,
this is great, Tommy Chong. I've been speaking with Tommy Chong about his new book, The I Chong: Meditations from the Joint. Tommy Chong, thanks so much.
Can I ask you one question?
Sure.
Do you smoke pot?
Nope.
Have you ever smoked pot?
Nope.
You said that with a straight face.
See?
That's good, man.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.